The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Nathan Kahns at Carroll Broadcasting and Jared McNett at the Mason City Globe Gazette. Nathan, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Hey, Senator, thanks for having me on the Capitol Report. My first question has to do with the National Defense Authorization Act that was recently passed in the House on a bipartisan vote. I think it was 316-113, but some gun rights groups have raised some concerns about some of the red flag gun confiscation provisions, as they're calling it, particularly in reference to Section 529, which covers the issuance of, like, military court protective orders. And in that section, it talks about basically red flag laws, which have been talked about in the past, specifically for military members. But I just wondered if you supported those provisions when it comes to the Senate, and if so, why?
Well, if we get a separate vote on it, my vote would be related to whether or not there's protection for the constitutional rights under the Second Amendment for people to have guns. And you got to have, if you're going to have red flag laws, you got to have due process. And it'd be how strong the due process is. We can't have just some bureaucrat or policeman taking your guns away from you. They've got to have, we got to make sure your constitutional rights are protected. And we shouldn't have any red flag laws that don't protect your constitutional rights. Jared.
Yeah, my first question is there are two different carbon capture pipeline plans that have been kind of making their way through the state right now, and both of those would go kind of in or near Mason City. And so I'm curious where you stand on projects like that, carbon capture pipelines, and if you think that eminent domain would be a fair use to get those done.
Well, eminent domain comes under state law, so I wouldn't have anything to say about what state law might allow a pipeline to go here or there or whatever protections there are for property rights. But I know under the U.S. Constitution, no state can deprive a person of his property without just compensation. That's pretty much quoting the Fifth Amendment. Beyond that, though, I am for carbon capture, but that isn't got anything to do with how it's being transported. I assume that transporting by pipeline is safer than doing it above ground. One of the ways to hit global warming is to make sure that we got good carbon sequestration. And whether that's done by a pipeline, it's collected and stored someplace, or whether it's done by carbon sequestration by farmers farming according to where you can sequester the most carbon, all of those things are justified under global warming. Nathan.
Hey, Senator, last week you and I believe Senator Ossoff of Georgia introduced the Rural Area Opioid Prevention Program Act in the Senate that kind of aims to provide grants specifically, or at least sets aside some money anyway, to rural communities to combat that opioid crisis. How do you see that actually inform helping with the struggle with prescription painkillers and other opioids?
Well, you got to have people prepared to deal with the opioid problem. When you got 90,000 people dying in the United States from opioid, that's a major problem. And helping local people through these grant programs is just one of many ways to do it. And this isn't the first opioid legislation I've been involved in. Going back to what we call the CARES Act of, I think, 2016, I believe it was another bill that I was involved in. And then there's been another one since then. And we've got to do it. And then also along the opioid crisis, I'm leading an effort to curb fentanyl coming into the country. Jared?
Yeah. Earlier this month, I know federal unemployment benefits ended for people in quite a few states. And I know that happened a little bit earlier in Iowa. And I know you kind of said previously that one reason, you know, for so many help wanted signs is because those benefits were maybe keeping people from returning to work. I know at least in Mason City, you can still drive up and down, you know, some of the main routes and you'll still see plenty of help wanted signs. And so I'm wondering if that suggests that this issue with employment right now wasn't just about those benefits.
No, I think that played a part in it. Some people say it played a major role. There's even some statistics out that say it wasn't a factor at all. So I'm not going to come down where I am in between those two disparate points of view, different points of view. But I do think that adding to that, not only the unemployment compensation, because that's just one example, the federal government has poured so much money into the economy. And what went to individuals, there's still a lot of it that isn't spent. And there still may be a lot of people that feel that they aren't hurting enough, needing a job yet, that is still a problem, and it comes from the federal government through various programs that have put money in the pockets of people that really got there faster than they could spend it, and still a factor in this. But there's no way I can quantify that for you. But I can add this, and this is if this $3.5 trillion bill that Democrats want to pass on reconciliation, there's a lot of entitlement programs in that bill, and none of those programs require work to get the benefits of those programs. And it would be the first time that we had help for child care, family leave, and those things without some work-related requirements. So that would make it even worse. And then don't forget, people are worried about inflation as well, a major problem, that all this money being spent is going to feed the fires of inflation. And that's not just Chuck Grassley saying that. There's a famous Harvard professor by the name of Larry Summers that said in January and repeated it again in April, you're feeding the fires of inflation. You shouldn't be spending any of this money. And in January, he was talking about what money was last appropriated in a bipartisan bill before Christmas, and he was talking about what the Democrats were trying to do in a partisan bill, which they actually passed $2 trillion in March. And he was a Democratic Secretary of Treasury, as just an example of how bad this fight against inflation is. Nathan.
The issues down at the southern border in Texas have kind of been in the nation's eye for several months now, but kind of recently came back to the forefront with some of those images with Border Patrol agents on horses. The administration has been relatively quiet about the border until those photos kind of came up. Just wanted your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I'm quoting a photographer that was on the ground taking those pictures. And he says the accusations that they were using their reins to actually touch people is inaccurate. And I think that it's going to be investigated. I'm sure somebody's going to come up with a reason that somebody did something wrong, but those reins are long to be used as a tool to control the horses, not people. So the Border Patrol was just trying to do their job. Should we find fault with people that are hired in an agency that's supposed to control our borders and not allow people to come to this country in violation of our laws? Should they be called to order for that? I don't think so. They're doing their job. This thing is so embarrassing. That's why the president cleared out the thousands and thousands of Haitians, because seeing it on television every night was an embarrassment to them. And also, I can relate to you that over the past several months, twice we Republicans on the Judiciary Committee have been trying to get the chairman of the Judiciary Committee and me as ranking member to hold a hearing on the crisis at the border. And Durbin won't do it because the whole subject is an embarrassment to this administration. And it should be an embarrassment. Can you imagine a president that takes an oath to enforce the laws is deliberately not enforcing laws because it's illegal to cross the border without a visa? Jared.
Actually, sticking with the kind of immigration topic for a second. Over the weekend, a congressman from your party, Matt Gaetz, said that Tucker Carlson was correct about the replacement theory for what's happening in America, And replacement theory is an idea that white people are basically being systematically replaced with non-white people. And I'm wondering if those are acceptable things and topics for, you know, someone from your party or from any party in Congress to be talking about and giving credence to.
It doesn't matter whether you're white, black, whatever other colors we have for people on the face of this earth, you're a human being, and you got to be treated like a human being. Nathan.
You mentioned the Senate Judiciary Committee and kind of some of the hearings that are coming up with that. I actually got it from your staff just a few minutes before that you've got a hearing coming up on Wednesday or Thursday, I can't remember, regarding the recently passed abortion restrictions in Texas. That's certainly going to be fought in the courts in the months ahead, but as you look at that bill, what do you think its chances of holding up to court challenges are?
It would never get 60 votes to be brought up for a vote. I'm pro-life, and I would vote not to bring that bill up. Let's go back to Jared. Last question, Jared.
Yeah, just kind of, you know, tying some things together. Obviously, you know, last week you said that you were going to be running for another term, and I'm kind of curious what your pitch would be to people this time out after, you know, so many terms of why you're still running, and what do you consider the topics you most want to hit if you did get another term?
Well, I heard the last thing 6 years ago in the 2016 election, they were worried about, at that point, it was my seventh term, they were worried about my age. Here it is, 6 years later, I'm still doing my work the same way I've always done it, getting to the office at 6 in the morning, getting up at 4 and running a couple miles, et cetera, doing the 99 counties every year for 41 years in a row to hold a Q&A with my constituents. So I suppose they'll raise the same concerns, and I'll have to listen to it again, and I'm willing to listen to it, and I'm willing to respond to it. So I've got more to do for the people of Iowa. The most immediate things are prescription drug problems, protecting biofuels, secure the border, the problems we have in the Midwest with cattle feeders not being able to find a market. I don't know what issues will be or problems we have to deal with beyond my term of office, but if I'm reelected, I'm going to be trying to solve those problems with the same vigor that I'm solving problems today, or not solving problems today, but working to solve those problems. So thank you all very much. Goodbye.
Thanks, Senator.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nathan and Jared, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.